chapter, beginning with verse number 15. And as soon as I get there, I will read it. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready.' But they all began alike to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I cannot come.' The servant went back and reported this to the master, and then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you the truth, not one of these men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Father, again, I ask that your word would have authority and power that's far beyond my ability to create. And Father, all I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing and would honor you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You ever been to a dinner party? A dinner party that just went from bad to worse? Have you ever been to a dinner party where one guest made everyone so uncomfortable that everyone is looking for the doors and they don't know an easy way to get out? Have you ever been to a dinner party where it seemed that the second clock on the hand just was stuck? Someone just nailed it. All because of one guest. This guest says the wrong things, does the wrong things, makes everyone feel horrendously uncomfortable. You know, in this story, that guest is Jesus. You would think having Jesus at your house would be a wonderful experience. You would think having Jesus at your house would just be a blessing, one upon one. Well, Jesus has been invited on the Sabbath. We really don't know where he is. He is somewhere between Galilee and Jericho. He's at the house of a prominent Pharisee. He's actually at the house of the leader of the Pharisees, and he is there for dinner. Other Pharisees are in the room, and they're having a dinner. It's on the Sabbath, and everything just goes wrong. The beginning of chapter 14 starts like this. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to the house to eat at the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. You see, Jesus had a bad behavior habit. He just never quite seemed to follow the expectations of everyone around them. He seemed to always follow his own code. And there in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy, and Jesus asked the Pharisee and the experts in the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. And then he asked them, if one of you has a son or an ox, kind of a strange combination, isn't there? Well, I have 3 sons. No, it's not strange at all. and falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately help him out? And they had nothing to say. I mean, here they are, they're having dinner, they're sitting down, and there's a man who has dropsy. You and I would call that edema. He has swelling in the either the face or in the limbs. He is obviously under some physical distress. And I don't know if he's there because he's a lawyer or a Pharisee or a plant. You don't know that. But they're kind of watching Jesus to see what he's going to do. And the key issue here is it's on the Sabbath. If he healed the guy 24 hours later, they would have applauded, they would have stood up, they would have gone, whoo, 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 they would have done whatever it takes, but it's on the Sabbath. You don't do that on the Sabbath because it's considered work. You don't work on the Sabbath. You never work on the Sabbath. It is not done. And so Jesus sort of stands there, and he knows that this guy, and they're all looking at him, and he's looking at the guy with the edema, and he looks at them and says, "You're Pharisees, you're teachers of the law, you're experts. Can you heal on the Sabbath or not?" And they all just kind of go, not saying anything. Not going to say a word. So he heals them, which annoys them to no end, and then he sends them off. And then he looks at them and said, "If one of you had a child, or one of you had an ox, and it fell into a hole on the Sabbath, wouldn't you help him? Wouldn't you do something about that?" And they have nothing to say. Well, it gets worse. They may not have anything to say, but Jesus does. And he starts off and he says, he watches how they kind of sit, and he says this: "When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When somebody invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for that person, sir, a person with more distinguishable, more honorable than you may have been invited. And then the host who invited both of you will say to you, get out of your seat and go over there. And you'll have to take the least important place. When you come in, go to the least important place, so that when your host sees you, he will come and say, 'Friend, come on and move you up.' And then you will be honored in the presence of your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And then Jesus says to his host, "By the way, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, don't invite your friends. Don't invite your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, because they're just going to invite you back. You ought to invite the poor and the lame, the crippled and the blind. And you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." And everyone at the table is going, does he ever stop? Can't he just quit? Because he is poking them. You have to understand, in the day of Jesus, banquets were all about shame and honor. Who had honor? Who had shame? Who was important? Who was not? Who was rising? Who was falling? And they watched that like a hawk. That was a preoccupation on a far greater level than it is now. Where am I in my social standing? Am I higher today than I was yesterday? Am I invited? Which banquets am I invited to? Where do I sit at the banquet? Am I more important than Rabbi so-and-so? Or am I more important than this gentleman? By the way, sorry, ladies, it's only guys. And the idea is, if you were invited, you had better have a banquet and invite everybody back. And it was sort of tit for tat, reciprocal indebtedness, going back and forth, back and forth. It was a massive social game, not just in Jerusalem, pretty much all over the known world. And Jesus said, why don't you stop doing that? Why don't you stop trying to exalt yourself? Go down and let somebody else have the high spots. And by the way, the best spot in the room was the middle seat on the middle couch. Everyone, by the way, laid down for dinner. They reclined. And they lay out there, and there, and now go away over here. And then you'll walk all the way up. He says, how about lifting other people higher? And these gentlemen who are sitting there, they spent their entire lives how to better their image. This was so counterintuitive, they didn't know what to do with it. And then he even gets more outrageous. Don't invite your friends. Don't invite your relatives. Don't invite people who can pay you back. Go get the poor. They don't wash. Go get the poor, get the lame, get the blind, and get the crippled. Go out and get these individuals. Get the ones who have no hope of ever reciprocating. Just give of yourself without any kind of conceptual idea about where you stand or your social level. Just go help somebody. And they had nothing to say. They had absolutely nothing to say. And there's this really long, awkward pause, wondering, and people are going, how long is this dinner going to be? Is there a way I can get up and leave? How can I get out of here? And no one says anything until this gentleman suddenly says, in verse number 15, when one at the table who couldn't take it anymore, he suddenly said, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God. And he's expecting to hear, amen, brother, right on. maybe not right on, but amen. Amen. By the way, in the kingdom idea, the salvation was often described as a feast. In fact, Luke loves dinners. He has all kinds of meal analogies in his gospel. But the Old Testament, going back to Isaiah 25 and many other places, God's blessingness is described as a great banquet. A great banquet. Because back then, food wasn't as easy to come by. To have a table that is unlimited in food is blessedness. We call it Low Country Buffet, but they called it blessedness. And the guy stands up and he says, you know, blessed is the man who's going to eat in God's salvation at the feast of the kingdom of God. And they're all going, oh, thank you, he saved the day. Amen, amen, yes, yes. And then Jesus goes, once upon a time, and they're all going, no, no. By the way, parables are not always comforting. Sometimes parables are annoying, irritating, convicting. Sometimes they just flat out nail you. And Jesus said, once upon a time, a certain man was preparing a great banquet. And they said, well, okay, maybe this won't be so bad at all. And he invited many guests. Now, in the Old Testament days, in fact, our day is getting a little more like Old Testament days, they would send out an invitation saying, we want you to come to a banquet. We want you to come to a banquet. We want you, 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 you. And the servant would go around and tell people that there's a banquet coming. Have any of you received one of those, it's new now for weddings, kind of relatively new, a save the date card for a wedding? You know, wedding's going to be a year. Here it is. There's the couple. I think it's just one more thing in the wedding machine to get money out of you. Do any of you have a wedding coming up in the next year that you are going to have to pay for? God bless you. But here, save the date card. This is sort of similar to a save the date card, except there's no date and no time. It's a little bit more ambiguous. There's no date, no time, but save the date. You're going to be doing it. And at the time of the banquet, at the time, you're going to get a call. By the way, the word call is very popular in this parable. It's very popular in chapter 14. From verse 7 to 24, it's used 12 times. From 7 to 12, it's used 12 times. So you get the idea. The idea of invitation and call becomes very critical to Jesus. He sent to a servant on the second round, coming to everybody who's been invited, come on, party's ready, bring it on. Everybody come. This banquet is served, everything is done, all the wine is ready, all the food is ready, the banquet is there, come and be blessed. We're all going, good, I'm there. When you receive a dinner, how many times have you ever said, I've got to check out real estate, can't come to dinner? Anybody ever said that? Hi, I just bought 5 pickups, I need to go check them out. Anybody said, what married couple, newlywed couple, is going to turn down free dinner? Right, Isa? Amen. They're not going to do that. But every one of them begins to make an excuse. They all say, everyone says no. Now, often in interpretation, these excuses are equated to what it takes to get a guy out of military service, found in Deuteronomy 20. No, they're not really close. These are just flat-out excuses which are based and that I've got things I want to do. I've got preoccupations in my business. I've got preoccupations in my family. I've got preoccupations in my possessions. I've got things I have to take care of. I simply don't have time for this kind of nonsense. I'm not going to be able to come. They all made excuses. I just bought a field. Is he going to complete the sale that day? I doubt it. I can't come. I have to go take a look at it. When's the last time you bought a piece of property sight unseen? How many of you ever bought a house for your spouse? And your spouse never had a chance to see what you bought? I know a guy, and he's still married. He went out and bought a house without conferring with his spouse. He wishes he was a mouse. It didn't go very well. Let's just say it didn't go very well. In verse number 19, he said, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen. Now, is anyone here a farmer? Anybody working the land? Anybody got acreage or anything like that? Anybody have a tractor? Anybody have a lawn tractor? You don't use goats for your lawn, do you, Marv? No. Okay, most of it. I just bought 5 John Deere 4450s. I have to go check them out. I want to go check out my tractors. That's all oxen are. They're basically really organic tractors. I have to go check them out. Again, he bought five organic tractors. He bought 10 oxen and didn't even look at them. I've got to go test them out. And the other one said, I just got married. Well, we're not sending you to war. This is a banquet. This is just a banquet. And it may go long, but I doubt it's going to last all night. You can't come. Please excuse me. They were all preoccupied by the cares of everyday business, of home life and possessions. And when the call came, they all said, nope, sorry, no thank you, can't come. Understandably, the servant came back when reported this. Understandably, the owner of the house became angry. His honor has been thrown in his face. When you are invited and you turn down the invitation after receiving it, that is a huge social faux pas. That is incredibly discourteous. That is a shame. That's simply throwing it in his face. And he says, look, he became angry. He says, I want you to go into the public squares. I want you to go into the very narrow alleys. I want you to find the crippled, the lame, the blind, and I want you to find the poor. You bring in everyone who is hopeless and can't have anything. You bring them in. You bring them in. The guy comes back and says, all done, all done. There's still room at your table, all right? I want you to go out in the countryside. I want you to go along the lanes, and I want you to look behind the fences. I want you to find everyone, and I want you to compel them to come in. I want you to compel them to get in here because my house is going to be full. And not one of those who were invited will even get a taste of my banquet. Interestingly enough, they had a practice back in those days that if you legitimately couldn't come to the banquet, they would send home kind of a doggy bag and let you know what you missed. You won't even get a taste. You won't even get a doggy bag. You will get nothing out of this. There's nothing going to happen. Not one bite of the blessings. If nothing is said what happens to the dinner, but it leaves us with a really incredible question. When Jesus calls you, what do you do? When Jesus invites you, what do you do? Do you believe you have a right to be at his table? Do you believe that you can do whatever you want, when you want, how you want? Or do you think that when he calls, you had better answer? When Jesus calls, we need to answer. When Jesus calls, we have to respond. To be called by God requires a response. Those at the banquet have been the ones who have been called. Those at the banquet are the ones who responded to the invitation. What is God calling us to this morning? What is God calling us to? He's calling us to follow him. He's calling us not to get hung up on our possessions. He's calling us not to get hung up in our businesses. He's calling us not even to get hung up in our families, but to follow him. Immediately after this, Jesus said, if anybody wants to come to me and does not hate his mother, father, wife, children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, he can't be my disciple. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. In other words, you know what? It's not just saying yes and wandering off and having a nice life. It is saying yes and following Jesus with an abandon of passion. I have to follow Jesus. I have to pledge allegiance to Jesus. The banquet is ready. His call has gone out. God wants his house full. But we have to respond to his invitation. We have to be willing to follow Jesus Christ. And you know, some of my biggest obstacles in my life are my family and my possessions and my preoccupations with my business, But yet those are also the number one opportunities for following Jesus in those things. I can bring my family. I can bring my possessions. I can bring my business to Jesus. Yes, even being a pastor, sometimes you lose sight of who you follow. Today is the 4th of July. We say every day in the school, I substitute taught for a while, every day they get up, they would turn to the flag and they would say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. And they would say that and they would try and go through it as fast as they possibly could. But I pledge allegiance to the flag. And there are times that that means something to everyone. That means so much to a large section of our population. It means so much to a large section of the church. We pledge allegiance. We promise to be honoring our country. Ray Bolts once wrote a song, and the lyrics go like this. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. You and I have been invited to the banquet. You and I have been given an invitation to salvation. And so often we think all we have to do is just say yes, and then we've got a closed deal. What did Jesus say? I want you to follow me. Wherever, whenever, however it takes, I give you the invitation to come. I give you the invitation to come. Will you say yes? Will you say yes? Will you say yes? I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will obey his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I will say yes. Will you say yes? In Jesus' name, let us say yes. Amen.